Welcome to the Companion Chapel Everyday Bible Study Broadcast. My name is Mike, coming to you from the Great Lakes area, beautiful Ontario, Canada, on this gorgeous Monday, March 11th, 2024. Special guest today, you know her, you love her, it's none other than Tammy Lynn with the hyphen. How's it going, Tammy?
Hi, everybody.
What do you got to say to your fans, Tammy?
I just want to say I hope you all have a blessed day.
It's Acts chapter 21 today. You don't want to miss this one. This is big. Another obscene mob scene forming around Paul. Anyways, let's just get right down into it. It's Acts chapter 21, and maybe you could read the first verse, Tammy. I'm not there yet.
Now it came to pass that when we had departed from them and set sail, running a straight course, we came to Kos, the following day to Rhodes, and from there to Patara.
Patara, and finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Like, these guys are making tracks because Paul wants to get to Jerusalem for some ceremony. I think it was Pentecost. And now they discovered Cyprus on the left and sailed into Syria in the land of Tyre. Remember, Tyre is, that was a big world bank back then, Tyre and Sidon. So we got the geographical location. Also remember, Jesus Christ walked 50 miles just to go to Tyre to teach us one lesson. So Tyre is something, you know, and 50 does mean Pentecost. It's for the ship was unladen her burden, to unlade her burden. They're gonna, whatever their, you know, stuff they got on there, what do you call that, cargo. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. So they always found their bros, man. They're always sticking together, communicating. And that's a big thing. And that's what we ask from you today. Like, send us an email, companionchapel.com. You know, we see people listening from Africa, from, what's that, Ireland, Germany, all through the United States. Like, we need those emails. It helps us keep us going, stay in touch. And that's called fellowshipping. Hardly anyone in Canada listens. I don't know what's up with Canadians. Like, we're Canadians.
I think it's a censorship here.
There's something going on with the metrics in Canada. It's just, anyways, so here's Paul, founding disciples. Hey, there's his bros. We tarried there 7 days. Yeah, we chilled, man. We hung out. We did stuff. We talked about God, thought about God, meditated on it. 7 days of spiritual completeness, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. So they're praying for each other. They're saying, listen, Paul, it's dangerous for you to go up there, man. These guys are having a church death squad. They're trying to kill the truth, and they're trying to snuff you, like, permanently. So they're concerned about him. Don't you go up there. We're praying about it. And when he had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives, children, the whole posse, man. They're all traveling together. Till we were out of the city, we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. They took time to say their prayers. And when he had taken our leave, one of another, we took ship and they returned home again. So they're tripping around, you know. They're like, it's not like we can just take a bus somewhere or hop in a car. And, you know, and even walking. You know, like, what kind of trails do you think they had?
Rough.
Yeah, it would be just like the way we trip around here. Like, it's just, you know, there's no asphalt. And the next day, remember, what about that cobblestone? Who invented cobblestone? Like, that's got to be the worst road,
you know,
system ever.
And try and walk on that with a little heel, man. It's just, you know.
Yeah, let's do cobblestone, man. It's just brutal.
Let's trip everybody.
Like, even the horses have problems on cobblestone. And so these guys are making tracks here. From Tyre to Polydamas, saluted the brethren and abode with them one day. They're hanging out with their many-membered body of Christ, is what I'm trying to say. How important it is to sanctify yourself. That means set yourself aside. Signal to God and to others, I'm a man, woman, child of God. I am meek. That means I afflict myself with self-discipline. I know how to say no in the face of all the vain curiosities and ideologies that we face every day. We're tempted every day with trials and tribulations every single day. That's why we stick together. You know, we stay in touch with each other. So everywhere they go, they find their brethren and abode with them one day. And the next day they were of Paul's company, departed, came to Caesarea, which is, that's not too far from Jerusalem, you know. Like, it's walking distance. Maybe not for me, but and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was of the seven, and abode with him. Now, I'm pretty sure we hear about this guy back in chapter 8, verse 40, Philip. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. Now, what's prophesy mean anyway, right? You know, you go to the last page of your Bible, says you can't add nothing, you can't take anything away. The Bible contains its own glossary. We know the English argument is absolutely pointless about the Bible. It was written in ancient Hebrew and ancient Greek. These are dead languages. So now we use our manuscripts, which you can get the Masoretic text that I study from, and translate through the lexicons, and then you'll find a true sense, meaning, and full expression of these key words. Form a glossary for understanding. God's not the author of confusion. Those threads that run through the Bible help you understand sentences and grammatical constructs, and then you'll see those threads that run through the Bible, I meant to say, make up the structural fabric of the Key of David itself for understanding and interpretation. Therefore, you can always say, when people say, that's your interpretation, like they say to me, I say, let's open the manuscripts, and we'll just determine that through the lexicons and watch biblical usage and prophetic usage of the words, how they're used in the Bible, not outside the Bible. Translate within the Bible. And that's what we're talking about here. Prophesy means now. You can say you're a prophet now if you foretell what is written. Jesus Christ told us all things. The last pages of the Bible, you can't add anything or take anything away. So we had someone come over here and claim they were a prophet. What were they? Nothing but a babbler, right? It's like, you know, it's like, I can see how some people would think it would sound good. Maybe if you smoke a big reefer, or what do they call them now, joints or
blunts,
marijuana, cigarettes that they promote up here in Canada. Everybody smoking this stuff now. They call it cannabis, and it's just to dumb down the population. These guys will blaze a cannon, and then they'll just, they just prophesy and prophesy about things. You know what I mean? It's all set up by the upper echelon, the stupefaction of a nation. There's no doubt about it. And then just add alcohol, and it's just like, I'm out of here, man. You know, you don't have to sit and listen. These did prophesy what? What is written? Foretell what is written. These were biblically literate women, and they're allowed to talk. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Now, we've run into this guy before. I think back in chapter 11, I forget. Doesn't matter. But notice the many-member body of Christ is sticking together. And watch his emotion. When he was come down unto us, he took Paul's girdle. That's just his pantaloons or whatever.
Belt.
Huh?
His belt.
Oh. And bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Spirit, so that the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, belt, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now listen, this is awesome how emotional they got back then. Like they were true characters of emotion, like the ripping of the clothes and throwing the dust. And like they just couldn't say, man, you know, they're hunting you down up there, you know. Let's talk about this. No, he's got to get the whole belt and tie himself up. And I love it. I love the emotion.
You should have been back then. I love that
they have heart and passion, right? And they're doing stuff like when ripping the clothes and throwing the dust. And
That is your wheelhouse.
Dude, I would have rocked it back then. Anyway, I got to give it up for Agabus. He just didn't come down and say, listen, we've been praying about it. He took his belt and did all this stuff. That's awesome. True emotion, passion. Never shut that down in a child, ever. And when we had heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Listen, Paul, they're up there. They're headhunters. It's the church. The church. The elite clergy and their followers, they want to murder you. Just like they did to the Lord Jesus Christ. They orchestrated the whole thing. They want to kill you. Just like you did, Paul. You used to work for them. Remember Stephen? Oh, he's going to talk about that in the next chapter. Not today. That's tomorrow. They go around killing people. And that's murder. And so is slander. God considers slander murder also. Just ask Satan. Ezekiel chapter 28. What did he do? Defiled the sanctuary. That's where the truth is supposed to come out. Of the more, the greater of the two unique light givers. In that sanctuary, the truth will set you free. Jesus Christ is the author of salvation. He is the living word. He came in the volume of the book. Just, it's so easy to slander it. Now, we know that, we were talking about this earlier. Like, what do they do to the Bible? They sugarcoat it. That's how they weaponize it. They sugarcoat it by softening it up and making excuses. They don't bother. We talk about how many people have actually read the Bible. Like, how many Christians that claim they're Christians, I would like to know, but we'll never know because people never, like, who's going to come up with this statistic, you know? Actually have sat down and started Genesis chapter 1 and read all the way to Revelation chapter 22 or 21.
When I started on my Christian journey, I went to a church to learn the Bible. They made me take an Alpha course. instead of us sitting down and reading and learning the Bible together, they made me take a course.
Yeah, they have all these ceremonies and things and groups, and you still end up being biblically literate after, but it seems so holy.
Well, okay, they were making jokes out of stuff. Yeah, it was a joke. It was funny.
It's a sideshow.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? It might seem surreal. I was thinking about this. Me and Tammy have been talking about this for a long time lately, especially about, you know what, we're doing our best to try and get the message of Christ's love out to a hurting world, help magnify, glorify, and broadcast God's saving word to a hurting world. That's what we're trying to do. We don't even know, you know, the people that we're doing this for. But the thing is, you know, people are just like, oh, we'll just see what happens when we die. Well, I don't know. I think I go in the hole in the ground, or I think, you know, it's just curtains, or it's like, that's pretty, like, you'd have to be, I can't think of the word right now, but it's like, that's pretty bold, even pretentious to even take that chance. You know, we're bound by the laws of thermodynamics. Obviously, the psyche is a closed energy system. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. It doesn't exchange physical matter like when we're talking. You go somewhere when you die. But people are just like, oh, we'll just see what happens. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm a good person. We'll just see what happens. We lived a Christian life. According to who? You know, so it's like, it might seem surreal to them right now. I'm just trying to make it through the day. I'm just trying to gather some paychecks. And I got stuff to do. It's important things. I got TV to watch. I got my own entertainment. Stuff all about me. You know what I mean? But it'll become for real. The surreal will become for real. And it'll be mortification of the soul. And that's why me and Tammy are doing this. We don't want anybody to hear these words. Depart from me. You never took the time to get to know me. You never took the time. You had decades to learn one book. And you let these people put on a sideshow. Like when Tammy went to that church. And you guys are doing some
Alpha course.
Right? Or all these other things that have worked their way into the church. Like all these ceremonies. We'll hit that in a few verses. These ceremonies that people think, especially the Catholics, think that, you know, what were the ceremonies we looked up this morning?
Oh, the christening, the baptism, the communion, the confirmation.
That's all for money. It's a business. It was a business. Remember, they do the weddings, the funerals, exorcisms. Like, they'll do anything to get people in there. Hey, you know what? If you don't do this to your little kid and he dies, he's going to purgatory. That's an absolute brutal lie for money. There's no way in the Bible
for the child to do the confirmation, there's weekend retreats, there's year-long weekly studies but that they have to pay to go
but
to.
But the thing is, I went to school with all these Catholic people and they don't even know the Bible at all. They're the most biblically illiterate people that I've ever met, and I feel so bad for them. I feel so bad. Like, they just, and then their excuse always is, hey, do you want a Bible study? You go, I'm Catholic. I went to a Catholic school. Okay? My ticket is stamped to get into heaven. I can do whatever I want now. That's wrong. That's sad. Who taught that to you? Well, I've gone through confirmation. I've gone through christening. I've gone through baptism. You know what I mean? They go, oh, we went through all these ceremonies. That's not going to get you into the kingdom of heaven. And we pray for you. But they laugh at us. They're hardcore, man. When they say, I'm a Catholic. You know what? I went to Catholic school. I've never, ever been able to open the Bible with one Catholic in my life. Like, let's just go over page one. You know, I'm not being condescending or patronizing. It's from the heart. I'm taking the time. Anyways, that's fine. That's fine. You know, God, our Lord Jesus Christ, will judge each case on its own merits. Do not be deceived. Okay, so this guy's saying, don't go up there. Paul answered, What do you mean? Why are you breaking my heart? For I'm ready to be bound and also ready to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm going up there. I'm ready to die for the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? He's into it. Paul is passionate, man. He's a tough guy. And when he would not be persuaded, we see saying, who's we? Well, Luke wrote this, obviously, for all the people that argue with me that Paul wrote it. Who's we? Luke wrote it. The will of the Lord be done in all these medical terms in here. It's the same, just right after the book of Luke anyways. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up. That just means, like, today we packed our knapsack or whatever these kids carry now. You know, we used to carry gym bags. Now they carry knapsacks.
Backpacks. Yeah, knapsacks if you want.
Yeah, whatever, Tim.
Because you want to have a
I'm
nap.
Not a cool guy. I don't even know what cool was.
I know. Just want to have a blanket and a juice box in your knapsack. So
yeah, that's right, Tim. My juice box. And there they went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciplined disciple, who we should... Okay, listen, man, if you're going to name your kids, don't jam up consonants that don't even go together. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
It's the worst name. Mnason. Just say Mnason.
Mnason. Hey, Mnason. How's it going? Anyway, he was a cool cat because he was kicking it with these guys. And, you know, from Caesarea to Jerusalem, they probably would have walked. And when they were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. Okay, here's the cool guys, right? And on the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. Hey, man, that is the James of the James, the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He didn't, man, when you read James and Jude, those two brothers, the crustiness just comes off the page. Like, these guys, you want to sit with these guys. They're not going to hold nothing back. Like, they just let her rip. 25 verses in the book of Jude are just like, I just got punched 25 times right in the face. Like, I love it. Like, that's no sugarcoating. Sugarcoating the word is illegal, forbidden in the Bible. Ezekiel chapter 13 puts it the best. God says, I have my outstretched arms, and you guys are sugarcoating it. Putting, you know, softening it up with your kerchiefs and your blankets and your ceremonies. And he says, I'm against those that teach my children to fly to save their soul. You know, and we go on, like, those who endure to the end, over and over and over again. The whole rapture theory is just, it's so sad. Because this is what the rapture theory did to our family. That's what the priest or whatever you want to call himself. He called himself a reverend. He had the big thing on, you know, all that's forbidden. Never taught the Bible. Always told us. No, it's up for interpretation. It's not meant to be understood. I'm going, what, we mean have billions of people surrounding one book with hundreds of thousands of buildings worth billions of dollars, and it's based on a book not to be understood? You are lying to me. Okay, I would out your name right now, but I'm not going to bother because no pointing fingers in the Bible. That guy's lying to me. Same with the next minister after. You're lying. Okay, this book is meant to be understood. It's easy to be understood. As soon as you get those deeply ingrained traditions out of your mind, like, they just empower you. Like, you're staying there as a little kid, right? Like, just imagine me with my little miniature blazer, my blue hat with the red inlay with that propeller on the top. I'm just staying there, and all of a sudden you got this guy, you know, wearing this big dress thing, which is forbidden. Book of Hosea, it's over, man. There's no more ephah. It's over, right? And then there he is calling himself reverend, totally against God's laws because that's God's name. I don't know. Did the guy not get to Psalms chapter 111? Reverend is God's name, period, okay? And you're taking that? Okay, fair enough. Peace out, brother, right? But listen, you're staying there, and you disempower us. You disempowered our whole family. You said it's not meant to be understood. You're just going to fly out of here in a rapture, so our family, then we don't even need to know this. And we went like that, picked up a remote control for a TV and watched 10,000 hours of television, at least, as a family. That is sad. That's on you. That blood's on you. Ezekiel chapter 3:18, we keep going over that. You did not warn us. You did not feed the sheep. Okay, now let's just try and get through this here. So here's Paul. He's going up to Jerusalem. He doesn't care. They got their bags. They're making tracks. And they come to James. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry, a briefing. Hey, listen, man, we're planting the seeds of truth for whomsoever will. That's what our Great Commission is right now, today. We're all God's children. Race, color of your skin, gender means less than nothing. It should mean less than nothing to us. It damn well better. We're all God's children. We're all trying to get back to a place of peace beyond our present comprehension. God wants his children back. They can only be reconciled through the Lord Jesus Christ. He cannot reconcile you through ceremonies. You're not going to go up there. I was christened when I was, seven,
no,
eight.
No. Christening is when they do that to a baby and they tell their friends, the family, the congregation, the baby's Christian name.
All right. I don't want. There's so many traditions.
Like, yeah, it's silly.
I've been through them as a little kid too, and you know, obviously they didn't even teach me page one of the Bible, you know. And when they had heard it, they glorified the Lord and said, "Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe and they are zealous of the law. Their law, the vagabond Jews, the Canaanites, they're all about the religious big show. Woe unto those that have gone the way of Cain. They're doing it for money. I can't use this word." How they got in there like that. It's not a very nice word. I'm just going to say they just worked their way in. Look at Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah looked around three times. So where's all the Levitical priests? And who are these guys? these Rechabites, these Kenites that were Rechabites, and then they worked their way in Jeremiah chapter 35. Woe unto those that have gone the way of Cain. You've allowed that seed to be planted in you, and you're nourishing along. It's false doctrine, it's ideologies. Remember in Matthew 13, around chapter 38, you read that parable. It says, who planted these seeds in my children? The devil did it. Ideologies outside of the word of God. And if you nurse along, if you conceive those ideologies and nurse them along like a child, woe unto those who give a suck in those days. And then if you want the confirmation of what that verse means, of course the Bible always has a glossary thread. Just go to Psalms chapter 7, verse 14, 15. You've conceived ideologies inside you. You're holding them tight. You're nursing them along. You can never be wrong. You think everything's an argument. Wisdom is a process of finding out your intuitions were wrong. But people would rather argue because their ego won't allow them any correction. So you just don't cast your pearls before swine. But anyways, here we go. We have a briefing here. And we're talking about the elite clergy and their followers that are just on their own doctrine. That sounds religious. They're carrying these around. Not the New Testament part. They still do it to this day. Or they just sugarcoat it. It doesn't matter. You know, we're talking about people that are hostile to the truth. By sugarcoating it, or here, being physically aggressive. And when they saluted them, they declared particular, okay, they had a briefing. Verse 20, and when they had heard it, glorified the Lord and said unto them, thou seest, brother, how many... Okay, we went over that. Okay, man, these guys are headhunters. They're vagabond Jews. Okay, remember, that was the curse on Cain. Their longings and wantings will rule over them, right? And they are all informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are amongst the Gentiles to forsake Moses. That's a lie, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children. That's a lie, neither to walk after their customs. Three lies right there is what they're going around saying. It didn't say, okay, so if you got a kid, right, and you're a Christian person and you're going to church, oh, we got a baby and they get circumcised at 8 years old. Is it the kid? Like, has he got anything to do with it? And what if the parents don't bother doing that? And then you want to be a Christian. I'm 27 years old. I just met Michael in the park. I want to be a Christian. Well, does that mean you got to go get circumcised now? They wouldn't do it. So forget that. I'm not doing it. Right? So it's just like it was an act of obedience back then by the parent to dedicate the child to God on the eighth day. If it didn't happen, it doesn't matter. Circumcisions of the heart. Book of Romans. Book of Jeremiah chapter 4. Circumcisions of the heart. It means to get away all the filth. And allow the love of Christ to come into your heart through his information, through his light. He is perfect in righteousness, perfect in trustworthiness. The only begotten Son of God, the author of salvation. The perfect truth. And it's the truth that will set you free. The truth is a great separating force between right and wrong, good and evil, and heaven and hell. Not these guys going around with, you know, rusty X-Acto knives saying, hey, you're not a Christian until this happens. Right? What?
Nothing.
Yeah, that's just beyond all reasonables, but that's how they wanted to do it. If it it's of the heart. Okay, so they're going to argue about this again. And even in the book of Deuteronomy twice, chapter 10, chapter 16, circumcisions of the heart. If it didn't happen when you were 8 days old, that doesn't matter. We put that on your parents saying, what were you guys thinking? Doesn't matter. Who cares? Don't go back and point fingers at parents either. What is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together that they will hear that thou art come. Okay, they're going to cause a riot here, Paul. Do therefore this that we say unto thee. We have four men which have a vow on them. Okay, they said a prayer. Take them and purify thyself with them and be at the charges with them that they may shave their heads and that all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing. And that thou thyself also walked orderly and keepest the law. So, okay, so here we go. You know, so I remember back in chapter 18, I wasn't sure who shaved their head. Like, was it Aquila and Priscilla? I can't remember. Or Paul. It was Paul that shaved his head. So he was ready to rock here with this vow thing to facilitate the plan of James to get him into the inner chamber. You know, it was all ceremony. It was all pomp. But, you know, Paul wants to get in there. He wants to say peace, so they had to purify themselves for a certain period of time. I think it was like 7 days or something. And always remember, when we go, if you want to cross that gulf, and this is interesting, you know, we're talking about after the flesh, when Jesus Christ wrapped up the affairs of time in this flesh age, you're on one side or the other, you're going somewhere. when you die. You're there in the kingdom of heaven, the millennium temple. That's where you want to be. Or you're over there in the lake of fire, which just means harbor or haven of fire is the internal passion of the mind. People running their mouths of their ideologies because they always have to be right. They can have it, right? So if you want to pass over because you think, you know, you have a relative or somebody, it's very particular in Ezekiel chapter 44, who can go over and who can get what. When you come back, you have to pure yourself. You get purified. You get surrounded by angels for 7 days or 8 days or something like that before you can get back anywhere near the Millennium Temple. That's how filthy, dirty it is over there with their ideologies. And we're walking it right now. So that's what they tried to do. Try to cleanse people before they went in. But they cleanse them with their traditions, keeping the law that they've made up themselves. It's kind of a Nazirite law. You know, you could go to Numbers chapter 6 and see this about the shaving of the head. But let's just keep it simple. They added so many laws and ceremonies onto what the church really was, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. A church just means assembly. And touching the Gentiles, which believed, we have written, and that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, from blood, and from strangled and fornication. So they were, because they're adults now, they don't have to go back and get the circumcision thing, but that's what they want to do. They want to, you know, try and put this, it's not even a technicality. It's just they're taking the law and they're just trying to change it for their own, you know, holy convenience, right? Then Paul took with the men the next day, purifying himself, and they entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of days of purification until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days, there's your 7 days, were almost ended, the Jews which were in Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him. Okay, here's a riot going on again. You know, they see him, and they just, instead of talking with him, talking about things, opening the book and let it speak for itself, they want to convict, right? Immediately, they want to convict. Not only convict, they want to murder. That's what's in their heart, killing the truth. Okay, this is the lesson that we're learning here. Crying out, men of Israel, help. That's quite the thing to say, men of Israel. Okay, so that's the inner circle. That's the inner court of the temple, closest to the sanctuary. And then, yeah, the next court was where Jewish women and the family hung out. And then the third court was the Gentiles. And that should take you to Revelation chapter 11, when it says to John, measure the courts. I want to know what's going on in there. The inner court and the outer court, don't even bother measuring the outer court. I want to know. I'm taking roll call what's going on in the church. And that imperial rod was for destruction. Because God's had it with these churches. And that's in the book of Revelation chapter 11 when we're talking about the two witnesses. We talk about, there's going to be a great cleansing of the church. Men of Israel, well, we know Acts chapter, or Romans chapter 9, who are Israelites? Like, let's get the biblical definition by this time. Who are Israelites? Who are Israelites? Romans chapter 9. To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. We've adopted ourselves back in to God's family, Israel. That's why he calls it Israel, Judah, throughout the Bible. Israel, Judah, spiritual family. I want my children back. I'm going to call them my family, Israel. There's your biblical definition. Who are Israelites? It has nothing to do with genealogy. You adopt yourself back. You set yourself aside back into that family, Israel. What does the word Israel mean? Don't Google search this or something like, listen to some blabbermouth. Let the Bible tell you what it means. Genesis chapter 32. Israel means God rules, God commands, God orders. That's what it means. That's the biblical definition. Here these guys are crying out, hey, God's family here, men of Israel. That's pretty pretentious, but of course they're all phonies. This is the man that teacheth all men everything, everywhere against the people and the law in this place, and further brought the Greeks also into the temple, and I polluted this holy place. Oh yeah, he's just putting it right on Paul here because they think he's going against his ceremonies. It has nothing to do with God's laws. So when you read in the book of Galatians, and people say to me all the time, the laws don't apply anymore. It says right there, it's the laws of the Sadducees and Pharisees. It's not God's law. Jesus Christ came along and said, I changed not one jit or jot of the law of the prophets I came to fulfill. The blood ordinances. So you don't have to drag a farm animal to church anymore. And his blood was the greatest sacrifice the universe has ever witnessed. The most selfless act of love and compassion beyond our comprehension. He laid down his life for your life. so that he could forgive you for your sins because he did not sin. Paul could not forgive you for your sins because he sinned. If they did the same thing to Paul or Peter or anybody else, only one walked worthy, only one. Only begotten Son of God, first and foremost in importance in the universe, most precious in the universe, the strongest entity in the universe, the most valiant, most mighty entity, the only begotten Son of God. Perfect in trustworthiness, perfect in righteousness. And he walked amongst us, and he laid down his life for you because of you. He knew he was going to walk into a torture chamber. Maximum pain, maximum humiliation. He did it so he could do this. Satan, you got nothing on me. No sin penetrated me. It makes the kingdom of heaven valid and legit. Because if Jesus Christ would have sinned, then he would have had to let sinners in there. The whole universe would have just been one big hypocrisy like planet Earth is today.
Well, when you say only one can forgive, it just, you know, brought to mind, why do people go into those confessionals and think that a human being can forgive them for their sins?
Why did the priest get in the same booth as I was in?
Stop. But okay. But you understand what I mean.
Yeah, I know. They do it for money. Well, you know, they can't forgive sin. Who do they think they are? Jesus Christ even said in Matthew 23, don't call anybody father. So what are you going into the church for and calling them father? You know why they'd say that? Because they know you're not going to read the Bible. They damn well know you're not going to pick it up and read it. And they're going to jam you up with ceremonies and
Satan defiled the
sanctuary.
Yeah.
Okay, what verse are we on here? Okay, so
29.
For they had seen him before. Okay, so they say, hey man, they're putting the finger on Paul through their hatred, through their obscene mobscene. This is hate united. This is what hate does. Murder in their hearts. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together and took Paul and drew him out. This is dragged him out of the temple, man. They didn't drag, hey, Paul, you want to come with us, please? We're going to talk about something? No, this is physically dragged him, and they shut the doors because they're going to murder him behind closed doors. And when they went about to kill him, tidings came to the chief captain of the band, and all of Jerusalem was in an uproar. So, you know, we had the Roman army there, and they heard about it, and they're going to come down and check it out. That's their job. They got to keep the peace amongst these religious zealots that make up their own religion, just a follower of one's own beliefs. That's what religion means. And immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down onto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating Paul. What's your Bible say?
Stopped beating
Paul. Yeah, they stopped the beating. They were feeding it to him. Because he teaches the Bible? Because he teaches the truth? Are you kidding me? It's the same thing today when someone downvotes or reports or gets you or shuts you up. That's slander. That's trying to kill the truth. It's the same lesson that we're learning now. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound to chains and demanded, who are you and what have you done? And some cried one thing, some another thing. Of course. You know, obscene, mobscene. They don't even know what they're hating about. We see it on planet Earth today. All these things happen for examples for us in these end times. And not know the certainty for the Talmud, he commanded him to be. Like, they didn't even know what was going on. These guys couldn't even pull it together. They're so full of hate and screaming and yelling that the centurion, that's the lead soldier, couldn't even figure out what's going on here. Let's just get this guy out of here, man. They're just laying the boots to him. Or the sandals. They're laying the sandals to him.
Stop. Did they wear socks with their sandals?
You do. I don't wear sandals. What are you talking about? I wear Jordans. Okay, 35. And when he came up on the stairs, so it was that he was born of soldiers for the violence of the people. And then he was surrounded by soldiers. These people wanted to kill him. For the multitude of the people followed, crying, away with him. In other words, kill him, all right? We want to kill this guy. Like, all he's doing is teaching the Bible. And as Paul was to be led into the castle, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak unto thee? Who said, oh, you speak Greek too? Okay, this is a big thing. And then he says, are you that Egyptian which before these days made us an uproar and led us out into the wilderness, 4,000 men that were murderers? Okay, so there is mad, bandits and organized, you know, tribes that would trip around and see a city, plan, okay, we're going to invade, we're going to loot it, and then leave. That's what they're saying. Are you that guy? You know, like, why are these people all mad at you? Paul said, I'm a man, which am a Jew. That means I am from this area. My dad was a Pharisee. I was a Pharisee. He didn't put that here, but we're just letting you know. Of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia. Whoa, he's letting him know. And we learn later, he's a Roman citizen of the tribe of Benjamin, okay? And he can call himself a Jew because that's where he ended up, you know, being in the land of Judea, where his dad was a Pharisee also, okay? And he got taught at the feet of Gamaliel, who I don't particularly like, but other pastors that I like seem to like Gamaliel. Anyway, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. No mean city, like the city was a place, okay? That's what that means. And he stood, like it wasn't a crossroads, like it was an established place. And when he had given him license, okay, gave him permission, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with his hand to the people. And when there was made great silence, he spake unto them in a Hebrew tongue. Okay, we're going to stop there. Beckoned into the hand. You know, Paul must have been a good guy, because I got some beckonings I can do with my hand that aren't so pleasant. And that's what I would have done right there. But anyways, then Paul starts speaking Hebrew. And that's it for today. Wasn't that just great? Hate united wants to kill the truth. It's escalating today. It's intensifying as we get into the sixth seal trump and vial. We're past the dynasty of censorship. That's the fifth seal trump file. We're in the sixth, where they're going to take over technology and try and take over us through thought crimes, persecute us through thought crimes, and through just trying to glorify, magnify, and broadcast God's saving word. You got to come together as a human family in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to thank you very much. Have yourself a great day. And
God bless everybody.
And bye for now.